On today's show, game two, the NBA Finals. The Suns take a 2-0 lead. How can the Bucks counter this? We'll get into that. And then, of course, Adam and I on Fridays, always with our power rankings. And you'll have to find out what it is coming up.
You are Locked On NBA, your daily NBA podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thought at all about what he might say to you as you're going through this now, or what you might want to ask him?
Finish the job.
And welcome. You are locked on to the NBA. My name is Nick Engsted, host of the Locked On Mavericks podcast, and joining me, as always on Friday, it's Adam Mares from Locked On Nuggets. What you got for me, Adam?
I got a finals game that was, it wasn't too bad. It was an okay game. It had a dominant 2-0 lead by the Phoenix Suns.
Absolutely. On today's show, we will absolutely dive into the Suns' 118-108 win over the Milwaukee Bucks. And, man, it was a confusing back-and-forth game a little bit there. And then the Suns just, it was just inevitable. It just seemed like the snap was going to come from them eventually, right? They were going to get to it. And then, of course, we will always, as always on Friday, get into our power rankings. On Friday, best players that came from relative obscurity in the NBA. Best current players. So we're going to go back, and I think Giannis will probably make this, and a couple guys like that that just basically came into the NBA that no one really knew. So we'll get into those guys. All right, today's episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. Enjoyment isn't the end game, it's the whole game. 2.6 carbs, 95 calories. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. And man, Suns fans are enjoying it right now. Do I have to go find the picture of that Suns guy? He's all over Twitter right now. He's like,
no.
Just enjoying everything. You're not sick of this guy. Is it? It's a different guy than the Suns in four guy, right?
Like, you're talking about the down low. They've actually had some minutes. I got to say, in all seriousness, man, Phoenix, they've been great. Two games at home to start this. But great crowd, man. They've been fantastic. They've been a really, really good fan base so far. Milwaukee's better bring it, and I think they will. That's what's cool about it.
If you're not, go and watch on YouTube. I'll pull up the picture of this. You've definitely seen this by now, but This guy just enjoying, having the time of his life, sitting in Phoenix Suns Arena watching this game too win, just in total bliss. By the way, which song would he be playing in his head? Which song for you is this?
This is like that Fly Like Paper, Get High Like Planes. Who's the one that sings that one? That's the one. Is that even a lyric? And a ching. There it is. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, that was a good one. Mine was probably Circles by Post Malone.
There you go.
That was the one I was thinking. And then Here Comes the Sun, right?
Here Comes the Sun. I definitely was not getting Here Comes the Sun vibes from him.
But the Suns.
Yeah, there you go.
Man, this game, so the Suns win by 10, and we'll probably look back at this game and be like, the three-point shooting was just too much for the Bucks. But Giannis, I mean, he had an incredible game in this one. 20 points in the third quarter, finished with 42, game's leading scorer by 11 points. And he did it kind of on a hobbled leg. Every time he hit the ground, it felt like it was just another chance for him to be just out of the series forever, right? We were holding our breath.
I'm on the opposite side on this one in one small way. And look, knock on wood, because I don't want to be the guy that everybody's like, you said he was fine. Hyperextensions, man, they're scary. They hurt. They're painful. To me, he doesn't look that bad. Like, he looks a little scared, but he didn't look that scared in the third quarter. But he looks a little bit, maybe timid, this or that. But the way he moves and everything looks fine by me. I think mentally, you're always scared when there's knee injury. But I'm not watching him. I saw that take on the timeline a lot of people holding their breath. I'm not. I think he's fine. And now that he's two games into this, I think it's an afterthought.
I just think anytime it's a collision, I guess. Maybe it's not Embiid, Porzingis level, right, where you're holding your breath anytime they crumple to the ground. But man, you just don't want him to go down, because then it would just not be fair at that point.
He was great tonight, though. Giannis was incredible. 42 points, 12 rebounds, 4 assists in that third quarter. First of all, you saw the stat. Everybody saw the stat. He had 20 points in that third quarter, and it was the most points of anybody has scored in the finals in 25 years. Is that not shocking to you? Doesn't it feel like somebody would have had more than 20 points in a quarter? Just, we've had so many great, we're talking about the finals. We've had so many great scorers. Nobody had more than 20. I know 20 is a lot, but.
Well, I think they showed a big graphic and LeBron had 19 and Kobe had 19 in a quarter. So you're right there. It's an arbitrary number at that point. But it was the most since Isaiah Thomas and not the Celtics Isaiah Thomas.
Right. But even Michael Jordan didn't have, 20. I mean, that's just, I don't know. I was a little surprised. I was a little surprised by it, but.
Well, the scoring's up since then.
Yeah, that's true. Right? That is fair.
Finals games, we don't get these 120 to 100.
You get good defenses,
30 games and stuff like that. Which, by the way, I mean, the Bucks themselves, they won the rebounding battle, the offensive rebounds by 7, points in the paint by 26.
That's wild.
Second chance points, fast break points by 10, free throw attempts by 9, and they had the leading scorer by 11 points. And they still lost by 10, and it didn't even seem like really close at a certain point. Man, that is just that's a defeating, deflating win. And it really just comes down to the threes, right? Like, if you can hit threes like the Suns did tonight, the Suns hit more corner threes than the Bucks hit total threes. Like, if you do that and then you hit a couple more, like, all of a sudden you're cooking, and it's just really hard to beat a team when they're hitting from three like that.
I hate, so often the NBA does come down to that. Like, you can look at the whole box score and throw them out. You used to have the four factors, and it was like the four factors tell you the story of the game and this, that. Now it's the one factor. It's the three pointers. And tonight, you're right, 9 of 31. That's 29% for the Bucks. They had some great looks too, especially in that second half, or especially in that second quarter. They couldn't convert. And then the Suns, 20 of 40. And they started, I think they had 8 in the first quarter. They just started on fire, 20 of 40, 50%. In today's NBA, you're not going to lose too many games with a competent team when you make that amount of threes. But the story to me for me tonight, and really it's the story of the series so far, I'm not saying by any means, I know we'll talk about this a little bit later, I'm not saying the series is over by any means, especially now we talk about injuries. I know we'll talk about that later on. But the Suns just have so many guys. And Milwaukee, it's like, okay, who's going to step up tonight? Maybe you'll get, something from this guy or that. Maybe Tucker from this guy or that. Maybe Tucker will hit some shots, or Lopez will make an impact, or Portis or whatever. But Phoenix has so many guys that I kind of expect, not just Chris Paul, Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton, who you're almost just pencil in right now for doing their job type guys, but Bridges, Crowder, Torrey Craig, Cam Johnson, some of these guys. It just seems like every night there's two or three of those guys that are going to step up. And I just think they are one of the more complete finals teams we've seen in a while. Maybe not as top heavy as, LeBron and the Warriors or this or that, but they just have their seventh and eighth guy is better than I think most even championship caliber teams.
There's sort of a next man up mentality to the Suns, right? They just, I imagine, like, if Jalen Smith got into the game, I imagine him hitting two threes, right? There's just something about, I mean, we're like, they're so deep. And we're like, yeah, but they're playing Campaign and Frank Kaminsky and like Torrey Craig, who, I guess was pretty good for Denver, I guess, but it's not like anybody was clamoring to go get him. And there's just these guys that they just keep bringing up off the bench. Like, I just imagine, like, Abdul Nader was playing in this game. I just imagine anybody could just come in and play for the Suns team. It's something about that collective where it's not that. And this is getting into, like, the psychology of a team, but the Bucks, Bryn Forbes comes in and he just doesn't look right. He just can't hit threes. He just doesn't look like the right kind of guy. And then who else is going to come in for you? Like, is Jeff Teague going to come in and do stuff? Is Bobby Portis? Is this not a series for him, or is he just not in it with everybody? And there's something about the collective nature, the teamwork nature of the Suns team compared to the Bucks. And it's kind of, narrowing it down too far, probably, but it's just Giannis and a couple guys trying to hit jumpers and that's it, right? Like, it just feels
Thing is, we're not even talking about Phoenix. You mentioned next man up. That's going to be tested here going forward, especially, with Torrey Craig being down. Part of this is just that they were healthy coming into the series. Now, of course, Saric and Torrey Craig, that changes things. But you get Booker, you get Chris Paul. Those guys are just at least good in every game, and sometimes great. And Devin Booker tonight, Chris Paul in game one was great. He was very good in this one. Devin Booker was great, I thought, in key moments in this one, especially in the second half when it really mattered. But you go to the other side, Giannis, 42 points tonight, 12 rebounds, 4 assists. I'm not going to say this was an all-time performance. He goes 15 of 22. It was a step or two below all-time. It was a very good game from Giannis tonight. Really, maybe even great game from Giannis tonight. But then you go over to even the number 2 and 3 guys in Middleton and Drew Holiday, and they just didn't have it tonight, especially Middleton, who finished with just 11 points. He did have 8 assists, but he goes 5 of 16 and 1 of 6 from 3. And that's, to me, that is the problem, is you need other guys to step up, but you need your main guys to step up every single night. And they didn't get that from Middleton and Drew Holiday, really, in either of these first two games.
Well, and I think next man up isn't necessarily like a guy gets injured and a guy has to come replace him. It's like, okay, well, Ayton isn't really scoring as well this game. So Bridges, scores 27 in this game, is second leading scorer for the Suns and was leading them in scoring for a while. Like Jay Crowder was 0 of 8 in game one and then comes back and has a, you know, 3 of 5 from 3 game in this one, right? Like it's next man up mentality right. In that way. Like any, like whoever doesn't step up, somebody else underneath them will. And like, it's just, there's something about this Suns team. It, like people say team of destiny, if you want to get all ethereal and think about it like that, but
kind of are, they kind of feel that way. But I think more than anything, they're just good.
Yeah, true,
sometimes right. It just works out that you're just a really good team and you happen to have a really good player in DeAndre Ayton on a rookie contract. Mikal Bridges, a very good role player on a rookie contract. You get, I know you were joking about campaign, but let's be honest, he's been a good player throughout really these good. Playoffs. And you know, same thing on that low
contract.
They were
trapping campaign. The Bucks were trapping campaign at one point. I was like, man, have we come that far where that's what you're trying to do?
Well, here's what's crazy. We're talking about, you know, next man up or other guys stepping up. Giannis tonight, this is the wildest stat perhaps of all of the ones. He played over 40 minutes tonight. He was a plus 3. That means in the 8 minutes that he sat, they were a minus 13. And again, I think the Bucks are better than that. They just didn't get it tonight for whatever reason from veteran players in Middleton and Drew Holiday. Not trying to put it all on them, but those are the guys you look to say, hey, they can step up.
Coming up, let's look into what can change for these teams and a couple more thoughts from game two. We'll get into it more. It's the NBA Finals. We got to get into it deep. And then we'll get into our power rankings. But before we do, talk about get into it deep. Theragun. Don't let the stress of life weigh down on your body, whether you're an elite athlete or someone like me. I don't know what your athletic prowess is, Adam Mares, but
old man.
You have a Theragun and you love it.
Oh my God. I swear to God, it's maybe the greatest thing I own of any, like if my house caught fire, okay, I'd grab my dogs, my kids, my Theragun. This would be my
Wait,
three
in that
things.
Order, you said dogs first. I guess the kids can run themselves.
Yeah, that's right.
They're holding up to run. The Gen 4 Theragun doesn't just feel good. It gets to the source of the pain by releasing tension using Theragun's signature percussive therapy, which goes 60% deeper than vibration alone. Try Theragun for 30 days, starting at only $199. Go to Theragun.com/lockedon right now and get your Gen 4 Theragun today. If you believe what Adam Mares is saying is true, and you should, because he was pitching me Theragun before we were even doing this podcast. Like he was trying to pitch me on it. Theragun.com/lockedon, Theragun.com/lockedon. Also, want to tell you about betonline.ag. BetOnline is the best place to put down some money on sports. If you want to, go and find some baseball lines. Go and find the series odds right now. The Suns are now minus 475 favorite. That is way up from after game one. They are
still too low. I'd still take that. I still like those odds. It's a no-brainer.
They are really believing in the Suns right now. So you can go get that. Let's see if they have game three up. They do. Suns, the Bucks are a 3.5-point favorite in game three. That's pretty interesting to me. I don't know about that one. Moneyline, minus 170 for the Bucks. The over-under, which I've been tracking these over-unders, and I think first one went over, and the second one went under. This one is over-under 222 total points scored. So each team's got to score at least 111 or around 111.
Initial thoughts are over, and I like the Bucks in game three. I think it's the one game they win in this series.
If you agree with Adam Mares, go to BetOnline, use the promo code LOCKEDON, get a 50% welcome bonus to your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, Adam, let's keep diving into game two of the NBA Finals. So we mentioned some next man up stuff. We mentioned what happened with Giannis. So Middleton and Drew Holiday, I mean, they combined for what? It was ended up being 12 of 37 from the field. Great. Like, are these guys, Drew Holiday was missing layups out there. Like
Middleton too. Middleton had a bad one in the fourth quarter. That was sort of, there was all these pivot points where it was, you know, the 30 to 16 in the second quarter, that was really where the game was won. And then it was Milwaukee constantly trying to chip into it. And they did, I think, three separate occasions. They got not even where you thought they were going to take the lead, but it was just like, okay, they can cut it to four here. And every time they got there, it felt like there was a missed good opportunity. And then it snowballed the other direction. So, yeah, some blown opportunities for sure.
Booker is on SVP SportsCenter with like a cream suit on right now, like a cream colored suit. That's going to be the story tomorrow. Forget
he can do what he wants, man. He can do whatever he wants.
Devin Armani Booker is wearing a cream suit on right now. Yeah, I like those two guys both. Like they had 8 and 7 assists respectively, but you got to get more from either of those two guys. Like if one of those guys steps up, maybe the Bucks can pull off this game. But if those two guys don't step up, and we were kind of talking about this before, they have to be they have to show up every game. Like they're getting stuff from Giannis every game, and he really showed up in this one. But they have to have these guys be 100% players and not 50% players. And they're being 50% players, at least scoring-wise and shooting-wise right now, where they only show up 50% of the time. 50% of the time, they're good. 50% of the time, they're what they were tonight. And they have to be there 100% of the time. That's why you give up 4 first-round picks or whatever for Jrue Holiday. That's why that you give Chris Middleton that huge max contract. Like, these are the moments right here. If you're not going to show up now, when are you going to show up? And why should it matter to us as the Bucks? But, man, it's coming down. Like, this game three is huge, like pivotal for this team right now.
Nobody's coming back from 0-3, so I mean it's clearly a must win for Milwaukee's side. But I think
they used to say no one could come back from 3-1 though.
Well, that's so right, man. Hey, I don't know. Denver can do it anytime. No, Drew. I think you look at Middleton and Jrue Holiday, and I'm not saying it was like the crowd or anything like that, but you do go back home to your home crowd, your home court where you're a little bit more familiar, and I do expect that those guys will play well in game three. And that's why I think they will pick up the win and kind of make this a series, at least for a short stint. I do think, and then you go to the other side of this and you just look at it and you go, okay, Jay Crowder goes 3 of 5 tonight. You know, of course, 7 of 12 from Devin Booker, the big guy show up, and I think they'll continue to show up, but Torrey Craig, 2 of 3, Cam Johnson, big shots from the 3-point line, 2 of 4. I think that we see a little bit of a role reversal from just the others from a shooting perspective in game three. And that can be enough. As much as I think the Suns have a lot of ways that they can beat you, Milwaukee is not as bad as they looked. Jrue Holiday, Middleton, not as bad as they looked tonight. And I do, and you compound that with the loss of Saric and now possibly Torrey Craig. And I just think that there might be a little dip from Phoenix in game three.
We were talking about the Phoenix crowd. The Phoenix Suns Twitter account was tracking decibel levels for the crowd. And one time after this, I think it was an 8 and dunk, it got to 111 decibels, which is the exact like decibel level that a chainsaw gets to.
Can I tell you, can I give you a little secret? No, they weren't. They made this fun graph. They did the graph. They did the whole song and dance. There's no way they actually had a decibel meter inside the
My favorite thing is when they do the sound meter on the Jumbotron in arena, and it's like, get loud, loud, but it goes this, it's always the same like rhythm that it gets. I don't know. I mean, they were tweeted out several times during the game, so it makes me think somebody had something, but the crowd was in it, right? And they kept showing the crowd in 4K on the sidelines and kept putting
What was up. That, by the way? Can we talk about this camera? What the heck was that?
I saw so many, like after the first instance of it, I think it was in the first half, I saw a whole bunch of people, especially NBA media people, tweeting, I will be okay if they never did that ever again. Like, I do not need to see Suns bros in like no t-shirt with a jersey on in 4K. And then they just kept showing, like they kept going back and dipping back into that well every single time. Some director sitting in the ESPN truck outside of Phoenix Suns Arena was like, oh, people are hating this on Twitter. I'm just going to keep going back to it and keep going back to it every
cameras,
time.
Cameras might be too good. They might be too good right now. Yeah. We can go back to the old camera a little. I don't mind a little blur.
We need to blur. At least like if you're a 40-year-old Suns guy with no t-shirt and a jersey and you're saying bro,
lots
like,
of blur.
Over, no, I'm okay. I'm
lots,
okay with
lots
the blur.
Of blur for that guy.
Give me back to, what was it, 360, 480? Give me 480 again. I don't need this 4K stuff. Anything else from this game? Oh, shots at the rim. This was wild to me, and this goes back to the three-point conversation, but also something that, like, the Suns didn't even play their best ball in this game, and they still won, which I think we said in game one, too.
I think the Suns played really well in both of these games, both game one and game two. I think they played really well. Collected, you know, Phoenix has only looked rattled and really in the first series, you know, early on. I think Chris Paul being hurt is the reason the Lakers were able to challenge him. But even in the third round, you know, in the conference finals, I thought that the Clippers did a good job of sort of disrupting, especially Devin Booker. I don't think Devin Booker or Chris Paul were necessarily disrupted in either of the first two games. And so that's sort of one of the things I'm looking at is Milwaukee has tried a lot of different things. I don't know if they have an answer, but that's why game three. So this is why right now I look at it and I say, I think Milwaukee will shoot better. I think Phoenix will shoot worse in game three, but I'm not sure that Milwaukee is going to like find the answer that is like, ooh, now they have that thing that Phoenix has to solve. I don't know if it's that.
Well, a lot of people thought that it was no Brooke Lopez and go small, right? Go Giannis at the 5 kind of deal. Like a lot of people thought that. I don't know if that worked out in game one a little bit. Like they went on a run when they did that, but I don't think it necessarily worked in this one. But the Bucks, 21 of 35 shots at the rim. So they hit 21 shots at the rim out of the 35 they took.
Not great.
The Suns, 6 of 16.
Wow.
They only took 16 shots at the rim and only hit 6 of them, according to Cleaning the Glass. Like, man, that is... That's an area where they didn't even get barely any layups in this game. There's another area where they can get to, especially if the Bucks do go small. But Giannis was doing a decent job as a rim protector. He was getting them away from the paint. When Brook Lopez was in there, they weren't necessarily attacking, and they were just hitting a bunch of jumpers. Like I said, they shot 43s in this game.
And it's a lot of mid-range. It's kind of funny because we've seen this in the finals a handful of times, really over the last decade, where sometimes you get to a level where defenses are good enough that it's like now they're going to give you the mid-range because they're afraid of the pain. They're afraid. And if you can knock them down and punish them 4 times, and right now it's only 2 more times. I mean, throw out what has happened already. Now it's just you need to get hot, and you have 2 of the best mid-range pull-up shooters in all of the NBA, and Booker and Chris Paul. Like, I'm counting on it. That being said, some of this will regress to the mean. Some of this is, again, that home cooking. You're on top. Mm-hmm. I think that for Milwaukee's sake, if you kind of like extend the series and take a big picture look at it, you know, game 3, obviously a must win. But if you can even up the series and push it back, then you put a little bit more pressure. Right now, all those mid-range shots are easy because you have nothing to lose. You have a 2-game cushion.
Yeah, right.
So you got to put them on their heels a little bit.
Last thing, this goes to your point about regression to the mean. The Bucks during the regular season shot 38.9% from 3. I think they're in top 5 in the NBA in 3-point shooting. In the regular season, they had 9 total games where they shot under 30% from 3. In the playoffs, so that was 72 games. Out of 72 games, only 9 did they shoot under 30%. In the playoffs, 18 total games that they've played so far, they've shot under 30% 7 times now. Like, man, almost the same number of times. Like, the regression to the mean for them is so strange. Like, they just haven't, like, their threes just haven't been going down. I don't know if it's the defense that they've been playing or if it's the guys mentally or if it's guys they're playing, but they have really had these really famine-y, drought-type nights where they just don't hit well from three, and this was one of them.
And it's not even – it's weird to say, but it's not even nights. It's that second quarter. And they rolled out, by the way, an offensive lineup in that second quarter. You know, Bucks have some, like, balanced lineups. They have some offense and some defense ones. I can't remember what it was, but it was a very offensive-focused lineup with Bryn Forbes and Giannis and Middleton and I think Connington out there. And you think, okay, this is a lineup that's going to score. And they just went so cold. 16 points in the second quarter, you know – every other quarter looked more or less the same. If you just look at like how Phoenix scored against Milwaukee, how Milwaukee scored, everything was pretty even. That second quarter, you only score 16 points. So hard to win in the finals when you have a quarter like that.
Yeah, and this Bucks team has not been that good at coming back from behind. But when they're ahead, if they can get ahead like in the first quarter and have a really good, outstanding first quarter, they're going to win. It feels like every game. Just from feeling. So, all right, coming up, let's get into our power rankings. We're going to rank the best players in the NBA that came from relative obscurity that we didn't necessarily know when they came into the NBA, but maybe after they got drafted, after they entered the NBA, eventually we're like, oh, dang, this guy's going to be really good. So we'll get into that coming up. But before we do, I got to tell you about Built Bar. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. They're delicious. I ate one today. I got the strawberry bar. I tried that one. It was pretty good. I still think the raspberry is better than the strawberry. So, but that raspberry one's always available. They have grasshopper cookie available right now. This one's absolutely delicious. If you're from the Midwest, you've eaten a grasshopper cookie. It's kind of like a thin mint. Like American.
Is that a Midwest thing? I was wondering what it was. That's a Midwest thing.
Yeah, it is. Like Peter Bukowski, who lived in Green Bay for a while, he was like, yeah, I used to eat grasshopper cookies all the time. And grasshopper cookie shakes, grasshopper cookie, like a cocktail. There's all kinds of stuff, grasshopper cookie. So I had never had one before either. But the bar tastes a little bit like a thin mint. It's got a little bit of mint in there, a little bit more crunch than the actual like mint brownie bar. So you can go get them right now. 150 calories. They have 17 grams of protein, only 6 grams of sugar for a bar that's named after a cookie. Absolutely incredible. Go get them right now. Use the promo code LOCKED15 at BuiltBar.com. Again, that promo code is built or is LOCKED15 to get 15% off at BuiltBar.com. All right, Adam Mares, let's get into our power rankings. Best players that came from relative obscurity. I didn't want to do like best players from the second round. I feel like people have done that. Best players that went under like 15th in the draft, but like a player that came into the NBA and generally NBA fans didn't necessarily know who they were, but then all of a sudden, and maybe like as we ramped up to the draft, they started to kind of know. But not a guy like Devin Booker went late in the draft, like 13th in the draft or whatever. But he went to Kentucky. People knew him already, so I don't think we would count him. Chris Paul obviously went high in the NBA draft, so we wouldn't count him. And guys like that. Number one, I'm going with Kawhi Leonard. I don't think a lot of people knew who he was coming out of San Diego State. That's my number one guy. That one's pretty easy. He gets traded for George Hill.
What pick was Kawhi Leonard again? Do you see it? Do you have that pulled up? I believe he was
15th. Yeah. 15th in the 2011 draft. And his teammate, Paul George, I think was in that one.
So with him, the one after. You know, it's not that nobody was talking about Kawhi. It's that nobody was talking about him as a two-time finals MVP and one of the best players in the NBA for a five-year stretch.
The distance he rose.
Yeah, he rose quite a distance. So I think that's a really good one. Definitely belongs.
Kawhi Leonard, number one for me. Number two, Giannis. I think that's a guy we started to kind of
hear. Man, already at four. Woo!
We started to hear. Well, I'm going reverse order. I'm going one and then two because I think it's easier.
Oh, wait, that was one? Kawhi Leonard was one for me. Oh my goodness. Yeah. I'm outraged. Are you kidding me? That was one? I thought, oh my boy. This is ridiculous. Okay. All right. Here we go. All right. One, Kawhi Leonard, 15th pick. Yeah. How crazy.
Best players that came from relative obscurity. So ranking them as far as how good of a player.
How many MVPs does Kawhi have again?
Two in the finals.
In the final. Okay. Finals MVPs. All right. Okay. Makes sense. 15th pick. Wow. Giannis number two. I can't even. First of all, doing a list in regular order. I can't believe it. And then those two. All right. I was fully supportive of your list for a second there. Now you're in the hot arbitrary seat, Nick. List. You are in the hot seat.
Your arbitrary ways we have to go about these lists.
Giannis number two. Okay. I think he is number two.
Giannis number two.
I think he is number two.
When the draft started like building up, all of a sudden people knew Giannis's name. People were like, oh, he could be this guy, but he was nobody, right? Like, he just came from this gym where he was playing against guys who looked like they were eighth graders and like this and all that. So coming from obscurity, I think that one is an incredible rise to the top considering what he just did. Number three.
You're going to change it live because of how I'm outraging right now.
No,
number you can put him out that you've already ruined. I know, it. I'm already going to flame you as soon as you say this, but go for it. I want to hear it.
But Nikola Jokic is my number three.
I think
he obviously rose from obscurity, complete like second round pick obscurity, like absolutely incredible the way that he has risen.
Nick, he's the MVP of the league. The most valuable player, the first time that's ever happened.
Giannis has won two MVPs.
All right, he was taken 13th. We're talking about the 41st pick. It's never happened, the second rounder to win the MVP. Now here, when we talk about obscurity, we talk about obscurity here. He was drafted during a commercial. He was drafted during a commercial. At least when Kawhi Leonard and Giannis were drafted, they were talking about him for 10 minutes. They did the interview. They called him in. He was asleep. And there was a commercial going because it was the second round. That's called obscurity. In fact, when they were picked, they were like, this guy's in obscurity currently. That's what they said. This is insane that you would have him number three. This is insane.
I think Kawhi and Giannis are better players than Jokic.
Okay, that's fine. That's fair. Are they three times higher? They were picked three times sooner. Three times. They were known. There were scouting reports on these guys. There weren't even scouting reports on Jokic.
Man.
Obscurity. We might have to pull up the word. I'm opening up Webster's dictionary to make sure I understand the word the same way that you do. Obscurity.
Number four.
The state of being unknown. Yeah, that's what I thought it meant.
You can put a lot of people in these unknowns, though, right? Like unknown to NBA
We're posting this on Twitter, right?
Sure.
We're posting this on Twitter. Make sure it says Nick's list, not Adam's list. I have a reputation to uphold.
Number four, Rudy Gobert. He was a late pick. Yeah. Talk about being drafted during a commercial. He rose to become now, he's probably going to make the Hall of Fame just based on Defensive Player of the Year awards alone. And I don't know if you could do a list like this without putting that guy on there because of who our boss is.
27th pick. I wouldn't mind if he goes back to obscurity, to be honest. But
And now everyone talks about him every single time he steps on the floor, for better or for worse for him. Number five, I had a hard time with this one, and I had a hard time with the top three. I went Fred VanVleet, like going from obscurity, like that guy was in the G League, and not a lot of people knew him to now the way that he's the way that he's grown, developed, he's averaging like 20 points in the finals and making all that, and now he's making a big contract and all that kind of stuff. So a couple other guys I considered, Paul George.
No, hold on. All right, go ahead. We're not getting out of here. Because Fred VanVleet would have been a great honorable mention. I mean, he would have been great. Okay. If this list had 15 players, I think Fred VanVleet would have definitely been on my list. But how many championships does he have? He has one, right?
He has one.
Would you say he's the best something of this era? Is there anything you would maybe say the most, the best or?
The best player that won a title with a G League that is now playing in the NBA.
There you go. Because we happen to have what I would say is a best defensive player of a generation and a three-time NBA champion and a guy who was on a team that won 73 games, who, by the way, was taken in the second round of the 37th pick in Draymond Green.
But that's, he played in Michigan State. I feel like people knew him, right? Like,
okay. That's fair. Right?
I kind of took some people out of it because I even considered Donovan Mitchell because he's kind of in that mid round, but I feel like people knew him. He played at Louisville.
I think that's kind of fair because Michigan State like has big, high profile, this or that. Although I will say Wichita State, I remember those teams it's weird because they are obscurity. Like that was a small school that he helped put on the map, right. But at the same time, they were very high profile. They were kind of like the new Gonzaga for a short minute there, where they were a small school, but everybody knew him. They saw him coming.
Yeah, Ron Baker. You gotta remember that guy, of course, man. He's the legend. Jimmy Butler, I also considered. Jordan Clarkson was another name I really considered for this list. Same kind of vein as Fred VanVleet, second round. Then he went to the Lakers, and now a bunch of people knew him, dated a Kardashian, and then everybody knew him.
I can't wait to see the replies on this tweet. I can't wait.
Kawhi, Giannis, Jokic, Gobert, VanVleet. That's what I end up with.
I love it. I love it, man. I love it. As I like when you do the list. We might have to have you do the list every week now, so I just get to rip on
you.
We'll
just call it Nick comes up with a bad list that Adam hates. That's what we'll call it every week.
So funny.
There you go. Guys, thanks so much for listening to Locked On NBA. If you haven't, go subscribe to the YouTube channel. Also, check out our Ultimate Mock Draft coming. Go subscribe to the feed right now, the Ultimate Mock Draft. It was the NFL draft. Now we're doing the NBA. Everybody makes a pick. There's going to be guys joining us. Brian Scalabrine joining us. Ryan McDonough joining us. David Locke's going to host it. Our Locked On NBA draft guys will be part of it. So go subscribe to that feed. Guys, thanks so much for listening to Locked On NBA.